All right, it's about 37 minutes after 8. You've got it on KHUM, and joining me here in the CAM studios, we've got Bill Morrell, who put together Stories from the Clark, which is airing on Keat TV. Has been for, I guess, what, we've already been two episodes, right? And the third one is coming up when?
February 17th.
All right.
7:30.
All right. I got a sneak peek
on
that.
That's the one you got to see.
I got to see a sneak peek on that. And it's fantastic. Now, if you're saying to yourself, Cliff, why are we talking about this already in the middle of the thing? Because, you know, that's how we roll. But the thing is that Key TV will be airing this many times in the future as well.
Yeah, they will have it in their stable through 2017. So
wonderful.
It'll run again.
Now, here is the thing about this. So it is just really, it's about Humboldt County history. That is really what this is about. And, of course, the Clark Museum is all about Humboldt County history. And
Cecile Clark's mission was to not only preserve objects, but to educate about Northwestern California regional history and all of the above in a museum type of atmosphere. And we're very lucky to have the Clark, and we want more people to come through the door.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, this little thing that I got a chance to see, which is going to be coming up soon, full of all kinds of information I was not aware of. The thing that really kind of blew my mind, the first half of this, at least, is dealing with the shipbuilding business that took place in Eureka. And I'll be honest, I had no idea that it was such an enormous industry here.
It employed hundreds of people, and it was integral to the timber industry. When they first started shipping timber out of Humboldt Bay, the boats, the ships that were doing that were contracted out of San Francisco, and there weren't that many of them yet in the 1850s.
And it was the only way to get lumber from Humboldt Bay out of it. I mean, there were no roads, and there was not even railroad.
That's correct. And the only way in and out of Humboldt Bay for passenger service was through steam schooner, and of course the wind jammers, the schooners carried millions and millions of board feet of lumber to other markets.
And the cool thing is, this is just loaded with all kinds of old photographs of all these shipyards. And there wasn't just a shipyard; there were shipyards, lots of them.
There was four prominent guys: Euphranius Cousins, Peter Matthews. Certainly Hans Mendixson, and there's a fourth one that John Lindstrom. All these guys came mostly from Nova Scotia, Maine, and had deep roots in shipbuilding from Northern European heritage.
And one of the reasons that this area was so good for shipbuilding was some of the lumber that they were able to get. That was so close. Not the redwood, though. I mean, one of the things you pointed out is there's a myth that the shipbuilding industry was here because of the redwood, and they were saying that's not good for building ships.
No, it was Douglas fir. It was strong, and it suited very well for the purpose it was used for. And apparently they would steam these beams to get the shapes they wanted. I'm not real clear how that happened, but there was an abundance of Douglas fir here inland, and it came, was brought into the Humboldt Bay area. The yards were both, actually, the foot of K Street was the Peter Matthews shipyard, but primarily they were in Gunther, Indian Island, with the Cousins Mill and Samoa, the Samoa Peninsula.
Right. And just a lot of them, and they were big ships. These weren't just like little boats. These were big ships. They were really something else. And that was something I was completely unaware of. Now, of course, I was aware of the fishing industry, which you went into, and you had Larry Lazio on, and that was very, very cool. And I also really enjoyed all the stuff you talked about with the local music scene, which is deep rooted here in Humboldt County.
Deep-rooted, and, before television, mm-hmm. really, people would go out and support these dances. And as I say in the piece, I say, you know, these musicians knew they had to swing. You had to get people out on the dance floor. But as shared with me by Julius Cabalzar, who is now 94 years old.
He was quite a character.
They would draw 1,000 people to the Eureka Muni in bands that he played in, the Eddie Clay Orchestra.
These are local bands. Notably.
Local bands.
I know.
But also of note is all the people that visited here.
Yeah.
Big band era, people like Harry James, Les Brown, Stan Kenton, and so many more. One of my favorites, the stories of Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, who were very popular and were certainly frequent visitors to the Eureka market.
Now, here's one of the things that kind of blew my mind, and you talk about this, and you don't even think about this, but it kind of makes sense. You know, back then, you know, in the 30s, you know, this was a natural stop on the tour of the West Coast because this was the biggest town, much bigger than, say, Santa Rosa or Redding.
That is correct. They didn't really, yes, it's amazing, but those two cities didn't really boom until after World War II.
So you think about it, it's like, you know, Eureka, bigger than Redding, bigger than Santa Rosa.
That's correct.
Because
yeah, amazing.
you think about it, you know, Eureka pretty much is what it was then, as it is now.
I mean, we're very fortunate that way.
Hasn't really changed that much. I mean, it's kind of, you know, certain aspects have changed, but the size of it hasn't. You know, it's remained, you know, pretty much the same size. Everything else has just gotten enormous around it.
We can count our blessings here in Humboldt County that we're not stuck in a quagmire of rush hour traffic every day, like so many people live.
It was really interesting to hear that recollection about how everything changed when television came out. You know, it was, you know, you weren't getting those giant crowds again because there was alternatives. But then you talked about the, I guess the next big generation of music here in Humboldt County, and you spent a good amount of time at the Old Town Bar and Grill, which, of course, you know, anyone who was here in Humboldt County for a number of years spent a lot of time there.
Yes, I was an audience member before I got involved with working with Rich Ross, Dr. Ross, which we're going to hear a little bit of and from, I hope, this morning. There was sort of a renaissance in the 70s of Old Town, certainly with the urban renewal of 1973, where they buried all the lines and made it more of a boutique sort of neighborhood. And the Old Town Bar and Grill was Lazio's property that Deborah Lazio got involved in to hold on to the liquor license, according to her story.
The story is amazing. I guess she never apparently decided to turn this into some kind of a big entertainment mecca. She was asked at a very young age, like 23, to do something just to keep the thing in business long enough for the sale to go through, which never did. And so she started booking acts and really had no idea what she was doing, but kind of lucked her way into it. And I guess the rest became history.
And as she shares, Cliff, that once, and she says Etta James was her first national act, once they came and had such a good time here, it their rosters opened up. People like Monterey Peninsula Artists and William Morris Agency, they go, oh, yeah, that'd be a good place for you to stop in between San Francisco and Eugene or wherever you're going, you know. So we had many Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night shows, and as well as weekend. But certainly those were a good time to go catch somebody extremely prominent, you know.
Like Robert Cray for $3.
Yeah. Or later in 1986, Bonnie Raitt played.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Lee Hooker played off and on. Lori Lazio shared with me that he was watching the Grammys, and the year he was watching, there was 3 Grammy Award winners that had played the Old Town Bar and Grill within the preceding 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, it's a wonderful legacy.
Anyway, the show is called Stories from the Clark, and this episode that I just saw, which you have not yet, we'll be airing, you said, what, the 17th?
Next Tuesday night at 7:30 on Keat 1, 13.1.
The main Keat.
Yeah, they have 4
That's right, signals. They do. But it's the main channel, and well worth seeing. It is anyone who is really interested in Humboldt County history, it's a real slice of life that you may not have known before. You know, I've lived here for over 20 years, and I didn't know anything about the shipbuilding at all, and I thought I knew.
Good. I'm glad I was able to enlighten you in regard to this,
Cliff. Yeah, I know a lot about Humboldt history. That for some reason that part of it kind of escaped me. I knew there was some shipbuilding, but I didn't know it was like that big. Really amazing. Really amazing. Now, one of the things that's kind of cool is you had some original music that was put together for this.
Pretty much donated in a way.
And you and Rich Ross actually got together for this song.
Dr. Ross and I had some history. I sang with him from 91 through 93 and went to Europe with him. And when I called him about the documentary project I was doing, he shared with me that he had written a song called Old Town Bar and Grill. And, you know, he ultimately invited me up to the studio he uses out of Grants Pass, Oregon. He has a little place at Cave Junction. And I sing a duet with Rich on Old Town Bar and Grill, which we're both pleased with and had a ball in the studio. And it's like old times. And then also the theme music for the show, Ma Femme Jehan is what he calls it. I didn't run the French lyrics, but Rich went back to Europe many times after the initial trip that I took with him as a member of Dr. Ross and the Soul Twisters, and with Danny Montgomery and other people. I think Chaz might have gone at one. I'm not sure.
Really?
If he did. Well, he might have. He might not have made it, but he was invited. I don't know. But in any case, it was quite influential for Rich to hang out in Europe and play. And you know, when you go there as a pretty good American band, you know, you're not knocking them dead here and making money hand over fist. But in Europe, they appreciate you so much because there you're the real thing.
Wow!
Even if you are white. You know, because we really focused on rhythm and blues and rockabilly and whatnot. So, and I was always very influenced by African American musical culture growing up in Berkeley, California. I used to listen to a station KDIA, Lucky 13, and that was in grade school, you know. So I think I started imitating black singers when I was just a real little kid. And you know, my first band was, I was a drummer in the sixth grade playing with two eighth graders. So anyway, it run. Rich's band in high school was called the Virtues on the Peninsula, and he has wonderful scrapbooks and stuff. He's done this his whole life.
All right.
He loves, especially now, going in the studio and creating.
So speaking of which, let's let us spin that song that he put together that you wound up using on this show. It's the song is the Old Town Bar and Grill. And for those of you who have been around here in Humboldt a while, it'll drag up some memories. You'll hear some names that you'll go, oh yeah, it's a wonderful song. So let's give that a spin and let's see if we can actually dial up Rich on the phone too. All right, let's give the song a spin. Old Town Bar and Grill here on KHUM.
Thank you so much.
Dredging up them memories there. The Old Town Bar and Grill. That song is, of course, featured in Stories from the Clark, and that is Dr. Ross and Bill Morella. You're on that as well.
I am.
You are on that as well. And we have got Rich Ross on the phone with us. Right now. How you doing, sir?
Great. How are you? Thanks so much for the airplay. It sounds great, by the way.
Yeah, it really does. It's a terrific song. I just watched the third installment of Stories from the Clark. Bill gave me a disc. I watched it last night on my DVD player, and it was really something else. And it's great seeing some of that old footage. Some of that great old grainy footage of you there. Playing there at the Old Town Bar and Grill.
Right. Yeah, we had some wonderful times there. We did a video back in the day called What Have I Been Drinking, and we did a lot of the shooting in the club, and it was just a great time, and I'm really happy that it's coming back alive for a while. I appreciate it.
Yeah, really, really, really fun. And, you know, I've, of course, seen you, you know, play many times in your in your different bands. And have you had a chance to see this project, The Stories from the Clark?
Yeah, I saw, well, I went to the reception, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, great.
And I saw the third one in its completion, and I saw little bits of the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Bill did a great job. It's just really, really very interesting and very entertaining.
Really did.
And historical.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah. Nice to hear your voice in this mix here this morning and the song. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for for putting that song together. It's I think it means a lot to a lot of folks who were here during that era, and I'm just happy that the Healy building was saved. I think it could have been knocked down after that earthquake. I mean, it was on the border. Is they going to save this thing or not?
I didn't even approach that subject actually. But...
I was like,
well,
I mean,
Cliff, we also did a little video called the Old Town Bar and Grill. And we threw it up on YouTube with some slide pictures and whatnot of the old club. So if people want to go there and check that out, as well as, of course, the series, which is explained in more detail.
Mm-hmm.
They can check that out. But yeah, the timing was perfect with Bill doing this thing and me writing the song. It just couldn't have worked out better. And I'm really glad that I'm getting so many hits on YouTube, because so many people have so many good times in that club, dancing and listening to music. It was an education. And, you know, you can't emphasize enough just how wonderful a time that was, thanks to Deborah Lazio and, of course, all the people. One of the lines in the song is, the real stars paid the cover charge at the Old Town Bar and Grill, which is so true. We had great talent, but if it wasn't for the people showing up, putting their money up, dancing and having a good time, of course, it wouldn't have been what it was.
Yeah, it was a true success story. It was really amazing. Yeah. And the thing I wasn't aware of that Bill put together in this documentary was just the way the Old Town Bar and Grill kind of came to be, kind of by accident. You know, it was Deborah Lazio was given as a kid, basically 23 years old, to say, you know, go ahead and keep this thing open while we're trying to sell this thing. And it just I guess the sale didn't work out, but the place did.
For 10 years.
Cliff, I thought that was the most interesting part as well about that. You know, you could see her with this look on her face like, oh, well, we'll open it up one night a week or two nights. And it ended up just being such a success. I know, that's really great.
I know, and to stumble into that, because she had no idea. She was 23 years old. She had no idea what she was doing. It just kind of just happened. And it was.
And she admitted it.
Right place, right time. And it just, well, it's a piece of Humboldt County history that, you know, I'm glad I was here for. It was pretty cool.
But she learned very quickly, that's for sure.
That's right.
By the way, in order to give myself a little plug here, the theme song that he uses during the series is called Ma Femme Chiton, My Girl the Gypsy. And I think you've got that there as well.
Yeah.
And the new CD that's coming out is the same name. It's Dr. Ross's Ma Femme Chiton. It's kind of a little Django Reinhardt, kind of a gypsy tune. And whether you get around to playing it or not, I don't know. But I just want people to know that... I should have that out within a month, and so you know, people can look for that. That would be great.
Fantastic.
You know? Why not?
All right. Well, we're about out of time, but Rich, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us. It was great hearing from you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much, Bill. Have a good time there.
All right, Rich. All right.
All right. Thank you much, Rich Ross. Very good talking to you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And Bill, thanks for coming down and let me get in a sneak on this thing. And I highly recommend folks checking out this third installment of Stories from the Clark. And when it comes back around on Keat, check out the whole thing. It's just great getting to know a little bit more about Humboldt County history. Stuff that you just did not know. And
thank you.
Kudos to you for digging so deep.
Thank you, Cliff. And thanks for what K-Hum does for our community. I
appreciate that. I like the little thing on K-Hum in there, because K-Hum, you know, not this version of K-Hum, but K-Hum has been around in Humboldt County since, well, forever. It was in the
40s.
It's the 40s. It was in the Vance Hotel.
Yes.
And I actually got a tour of the old studios before it got the whole thing got remodeled. So, it was pretty cool, and you used some of the historic pictures that we've got up on our wall in the other room there, so it was pretty darn cool seeing that in there as well. Appreciate that. All right, Bill, thanks for coming by, and check it out. Stories from the Clark, and that's on Keat TV.